This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala sharafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Fama ba'du, my brothers and sisters, let me talk to you a little bit about some of the great miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them physical in space, some of them in terms of humanity. Of course, the greatest of those miracles is the Quran al-Kareem, which remains with us to this day and which will remain in this world until the end of the world, inshallah. And this is a miracle. This is a gift that was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which we got because we are his ummah. And in this particular case, when I say we, I do not mean only the Muslims, but all of humanity, because all of humanity are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are the people of the Rasul alayhi salam. Any Rasul has all the people to whom that Rasul or Nabi was sent are his people. Rasulullah was sent to all of mankind. Right? Ya ayyuhan nas, inni Rasulullah alaykum jami'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him these words, and he said this, that O people, I am the Rasul, the messenger of Allah to you all together. That ummah is divided into two parts, ummat dawat, ummatul dawat, and ummatul ijabat. The ummah to whom the dawah is given, the ummah to whom the message is conveyed, and the ummah who accepts that message, right? Ummatul ijabat, ummatul dawat and ummatul ijabat. Ummatul Dawat is the ummah to whom the message is sent, and that is everybody. And out of them, the Ummatul Ijabat is that part of the ummah who accepted or accepts that Dawat. Right? The people who accept that Dawat. So this is the difference between the two parts of the ummah, but we are all the ummah for Rasulullah. So Rasulullah, the message came, the Quran came for the ummah, meaning everyone. Some accepted it, some did not accept it, but it still belongs to them. It still belongs to those who did not accept it, even though they did not accept it. And it's the job of those who accepted it to convey it to those who have not accepted it. So this is the overall background picture. So now when we look at the miracles of Rasulullah, as I said, the Quran al-Kareem is the biggest of them, and it still remains with us. Another big miracle is the splitting of the moon, the Shaqqul Qamar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the Quran itself, and this is also part of our belief, part of our aqidah, that we believe it happened. We don't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does his things, but this is something which happened. It's very significant, not just because the moon split, but because the sun and the moon have a great significance for human beings in terms of their beliefs and their religious beliefs and their superstitions and so on. There are many people in India, there are the Rajputs who are Hindus. Some of them among their royal family, some of them are Suryavanshi and some of them are Chandravanshi. They say we are descended from the sun and we are descended from the moon. Again, these are all, obviously, I mean, nobody can be descended from an inanimate celestial object, right? But this is what people believe. And so it's a very significant thing. People worship the sun and the moon. In yoga, there's something called Surya Namaskar, which is done at the time of the rising sun. This is also one of the reasons why among the times when Salah and Sajda is prohibited is the exact time, or that small, not exact, but the short period of time when the sun is actually rising and when the sun is setting. And it is not because we worship the sun, you know, no matter what time we do sajda, we do sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to the sun. But so that we do not even give an impression that maybe we are doing this. So to remove even the impression, we have been told, do not make sujood at this time when the sun is in the rising situation and when the sun is setting. So when this is between the time for Salatul Fajr finishes and the time for Ishraq begins, that's the beginning, and at the time of just before the time of Maghrib is the time of when Salah is prohibited. Now this unique miracle of the splitting of the moon is established, as I mentioned, in the Quran as well as in the authentic Sahih Hadith of Bukhari and Muslim. It happened between the Hijra to Abyssinia and the acceptance of Islam by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. But this is where we have to understand. Many times people are very miracle driven. They think their miracles will solve everything. They think, why don't we have some miracle? The key thing to understand, the biggest miracle is yourself. You yourself are a great miracle from our own perspective, from our understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created somebody like us. Right? If you look at it, medically, if you look at it, it's an amazing thing. It's a miracle that you are born. It's a miracle that you still remain alive. If you look at one simple thing, if you look at the number of pathogens that exist in the atmosphere, in water, in food, and so on, this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given us eyesight which sees things very selectively. Right? We do not see everything. If you saw, for example, if you pick up the most delicious thing about, think about the most delicious thing, boy, the best food in the world, which you love beyond anything else, right? You're willing to die for it and kill for it. Just pick up a morsel of that food, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you the sight to see the number of bacteria and viruses and potential pathogens on that food, you would throw it and you would run like hell, right? You would never put that thing into your mouth. If you just look at your skin and see a whole world which exists on your skin, a whole world which exists on our lips, in our eyes, on our tongues, a whole world, because these are living beings who are living on us. If you look at that, you will have nightmares. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us all that. Now imagine, in all of this, you and I are still alive and we are well, and we are healthy, and we are, we live our lives very normally and very happily. This itself is an amazing miracle. Provided we see the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that miracle. This is the key thing. The key thing is the sight of ibrat. The sight where you look at something and take a lesson from it. And the lesson that we take from this is, Allahu Rabbul Alameen. Rabbi Allah. My Rabb is Allah. So this miracle happened where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they challenged him and they said, split the moon if your God and if your Rabb is true. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him that, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered to make an ishara, to make a sign like that to the moon, and the moon split. And they said that they could see the mountains of Tihama between the two parts of the moon, and after that the moon came back together. Right? Now, but what happened? Did all these people who challenged him to do this miracle, did they accept Islam? No. They accused Rasulullah of magic. They accused him of magic. Right? Remember, all miracles are the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Musa alayhi salam was ordered to strike the water, and the water split, and the water stood like two walls, and between those two walls, the ground on which the people of Musa walked, this ground was dry ground. It was not full of slush and mud and everything else, and they have difficulty walking. No, it was dry ground. But how many times did water split when Musa alayhi salam struck water? One time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered it. How many times did the moon split when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a signal? I don't know if he made a signal ever again, but my point is that, please understand this. We ascribe the miracle to the one who did it, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does it through, not because he needs to do it through, but he does it through his Nabi, his Rasul, in order to reinforce and honor the exalted position of the Rasul. But the miracle does not belong to the Rasul, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why when Sulaiman alayhi salam, again in Surah An-Naml, we have these ayat, when Sulaiman alayhi salam saw the throne of Bilqis, which was brought to him in a way that we don't understand to this day, by one of his courtiers who didn't even go anywhere. He just sat where he sat and he said what he had to say, and this throne came 1,000 miles to Palestine from the kingdom of Saba, which was in Yemen. And it was inside the fort of the queen. It was in a highly secure place. And physically, it moved from there to Palestine, where Sulaiman alayhi salam was, in a split second. Because the man said to Sulaiman alayhi salam, look there, look here, and the throne is there. Before his eye could blink. And Sulaiman alayhi salam's reaction is the teaching for us of what do we do when we see a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said two things. First he said, Hadha min fadli Rabbi. He said, this is the fadl, this is the blessing of my Rabb. He did not say, this is the miracle of this man, Sahibul Karamat. No. He said, Hadha min fadli Rabbi. And then he said, Liyabluani, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can test me to see whether I am thankful or I am not thankful. So in this case, these people, they demanded the miracle. When it came, they refused it. And they said, this is magic. An interesting side note is that this miracle was also seen in India, in Kerala, in a place called Kodangallur, which is near Cochin, by the king of the place, who was the king of the Kulashekara Perumal dynasty, and his name was Charanan Perumal. He also and those people also saw the splitting of the moon, because if you see the different time difference between Arabia and India, this happened at a time when people in India also saw it. It is also reported that this was seen in China, and they have written this as a reference point in the, it's called the year in which the moon was split. But Charanan Perumal story is very interesting. So this king saw this. Now, a year or two later, some Arabs, and these were the Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so a few years later they landed. They came to, because they used to trade between India and Arabia. So they came in a ship and they landed in Kodangallur. And the king summoned them. So when they went to meet the king said, look, this is what we saw here a few years ago. Do you know anything about this? And they said, yes, this is the miracle that was done by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Charanan Perumal saw this miracle, he called his Jyotishis, he called his astrologers and his priests. This was a Hindu king. So he called them and he asked them what's going on. So they said that they said that this is done from the land of sand and date palms. They called this, how they call it, they refer to Arabia. And they said, a prophet has come there, and he did it. Now, when Charanan Perumal called the Sahaba who he met, they said the same thing. They said, this is done by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Charanan Perumal then decided to go and meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he accepted Islam at the hands of the Sahaba. He gave them place to build a masjid. And that masjid exists to this day, and I have prayed in that masjid. That is in Kodangalur. And when they built the masjid, they needed light, they needed lamp, and so they gave them, the local people, they gave them a lamp from their temple. It's a brass lamp, and the lamp also exists in the same masjid. So they gave them a brass oil lamp, which was used to illuminate the masjid. So the Sahaba stayed there, they married local women, and eventually they died there, and they are buried there, next to the masjid. The Charanan Perumal then went to meet Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, I do not know, and it would be interesting if somebody does some research in this area, which in which we will be able to see, you know, whether there is a report of any people from India meeting Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But he went from India, he went to Oman. That was the route they used to take. And from Oman he went to Medina. And then he returned. And on the way, in a place called Salalah in Oman, he died. Now, I'm not sure whether he died on the way there or on the way back, but they say he died on the way back. And his qabr is in Salalah, and I have been to his grave also. I went to see that grave as well, which is in Salalah in Oman. So, the one who, مَنْ يَهْدِي اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَا, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide, nobody can misguide. And Charanan Perumal, rahmatullahi alayhi, was one of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to guide him. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides anyone who wants to be guided. Allah doesn't play favorites with this thing. The one who wants to be guided is guided. So we have to convince Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need guidance by our sincerity and by our commitment to the truth. Now, having said that, it's very important that we don't try to prove the Quran and the Sunnah using, within quotes, what we call scientific evidence, because science is a developing body of knowledge, and which automatically means that something we knew yesterday can be proven to be false today. And this is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength, it's a sign of the openness of the mind, it's a sign that we are on the road to discovery. So alhamdulillah, this is eminently good. But it is different from revelation, the knowledge of revelation, which is factual and which doesn't change over time. Because Allah knows, for Allah there is no past and future, and therefore Allah knows what is what, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah says is good for all time. So these are two different types of knowledge that we have, and we need both, but we need the knowledge of revelation the most, and that's the most critical, because that is an area that science cannot reach, can never reach, and that is the area of the revelation, which comes from al-ghayb, from the unperceivable, and it is unperceivable because it is unperceivable. Another miracle of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also in the Quran is, as we know, in those days there were two major powers which had been struggling and fighting against each other for centuries, and they were the Persians and the Romans. It's very interesting to read the history of the Roman Empire, the Western and Eastern Roman Empire, and then the Persian Empire. How the Western Roman Empire centered in Rome almost completely disappeared, and then the Eastern Roman Empire centered in Constantinople is the one which lasted until Constantinople was conquered by Mehmed II, the Ottoman ruler, and that was the end of the Roman Empire totally. Now, so in this struggle between the Persians and Romans, the Persians defeated the Romans. And they went all the way to Jerusalem. They destroyed Jerusalem and they carried away what the Christians call the true cross. And the true cross is the cross which the Christians believe that Isa alayhi salam had been crucified on. So that was the, obviously that is not true, because we know that Isa alayhi salam was not crucified, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him, and that somebody else, a criminal who was sentenced to crucifixion, he was made to look like Isa alayhi salam, and they crucified him on this particular cross. But anyway, the Christian belief is that this is the what they call the true cross, and it is in the it is housed in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So the Persians carried this away to Persia. When this happened, this conquest of Rome by Persia and the sacking of Jerusalem, the Mushrikeen of Makkah, the Quraysh and all, they rejoiced. And they taunted the Muslims and they said to them that they would defeat them as the Persians had defeated the Romans. Now, what was the similarity? That the Persians were Mushrikeen, they used to worship fire, and they used to worship their own kings, whereas the Romans, they were Christian. So now, even though we don't accept the Christian belief, we don't accept Isa alayhi salam as God or Son of God, and his mother Maryam alayhi salam as Mother of God, and the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and so on. We don't believe and worship any of that. But still, the Christian belief is closer to us, as in believing in Isa alayhi salam as the messenger of Allah, and believing in one one creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is still closer to us than worshipping idols, than worshipping the fire and so on. So the Muslims identified themselves with the Christian Romans, whereas the Mushrikeen, the idolaters in Makkah, they identified themselves with the Persians. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, at that time, they revealed the opening ayat of Surah Ar-Rum, which begins with the words Ghulibat Ar-Rum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ghulibat Ar-Rum means Rome has succeeded. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed his Quran, and he said that Rome has succeeded, which means that Rome will defeat Persia. And this ayat is revealed at a time when the Roman Empire has been crushed, when the center of the Roman Empire, which was Jerusalem, has been sacked, and the true cross has been carried away to Persia. I mean, it can't get worse than that. But that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Allah said, Ghulibat Ar-Rum, Allah said, Rome has been successful. Now, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then went to Abu Jahl, and he said, I will bet with you that the Romans will beat the Persians. So Abu Jahl said, give me a time, when will this happen? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, in less than 10 years. Right? Fi bidi asinin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this word, bidi asinin, which can mean 1 to 9 years. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Abu Jahl, I will bet with you that Rome will beat Persia, and in a period of less than 10 years. So Abu Jahl agreed, and he set an amount of 100 camels as the bet. Now, that happened on the day that the Muslims won the Battle of Badr. Right? Rome beat Persia. And then, again, it was a very decisive decisive victory, because the Roman legions, they went all the way into Persia, and they put out their eternal flame which they used to worship in their temple. So they went into Persia, and this happened on the day of the Battle of Badr, when the Muslims beat and were victorious over the Mushrikeen of Makkah, over the Qurayshi army which had come to fight the Muslims, and this happened in the battlefield of Badr. So the Roman won and they defeated the Mushrikeen of Persia, and the Muslims won a battle, the most decisive, the most important battle, and the first of the battles against the Mushrikeen of Makkah. Now, in the 10th year of Revelation, Abu Talib passed away, as I mentioned also yesterday, in yesterday's Khatir on this. Abu Talib passed away. And as I said to, as I mentioned to you, Rasulullah was at his at his bedside, and he said to him, just say La ilaha illallah. Give me something so I can intercede for you on the Day of Judgment. But Abu Jahl interjected and he said, are you going to reject the religion of your fathers, and are you going to denounce the religion of your forefathers? In the end, Abu Talib said, Bal ala millat Abu Abdul Muttalib. He said, I am dying on the religion and the millat of my father, Abdul Muttalib. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he died. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will continue to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him until Allah tells me to stop. Now Abu Talib gave most of his life in defense of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He took care of him, he looked after him, he loved him more than anyone else. He loved him more than he loved his own children. So it was a very, very difficult time. And Rasulullah ﷺ kept on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive Abu Talib until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of Surah Tawbah. مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. Allah said, it is not proper for the Prophet and those who believe to ask Allah's forgiveness for the mushrikun, for the idolaters, the disbelievers, even though they be of kin, even though they may be related to them, after it has become clear to them that they are dwellers of the fire, because they died in a state of disbelief. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. Allah said in Surah Al-Qasas, verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, guide not whom you like, meaning you have not been given the power to guide whoever you like, but Allah guides whom He wills, and He knows best those who are guided. So now, these are two ayat which I want to draw your attention to for two reasons. Firstly, the first reason I want you to draw your attention to this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah and with Allah, there are no favorites. There is no relationship between the Rabb and the Abd, Allah and His slave, except the relationship of Rububiyat and Uluhiyat, the relationship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one to be worshipped, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one to be thanked, because He is the creator, the sustainer, the maintainer of the Abd, of the slaves. There is no other relationship other than this. Allah is not a friend, Allah is not a relative, Allah is not connected to us in any other way, right? We should understand this very clearly. Obviously, we don't say any of this, but one way in which we tend to create relationships is by saying, so-and-so is the son of this this famous pious person, a wali of Allah, insha'Allah, and therefore this son is special, even though this son or this daughter were themselves mushrikeen, even though they did not worship Allah, even though they never prayed and so on and so forth, but they will be in Jannah because their father or cousin or whoever it was this great, we use these terms wali of Allah, as if we know. Nobody knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but just to understand this thing. So we say, so-and-so is the one. Now think about this. The son of any so-called wali, first of all, the awliya of Allah are less than the anbiya of Allah. Any person who is a wali of Allah, his status and position is less than the prophet of the time, or any prophet. The prophet's position is less than that of the Rasul, the position of the messenger. And Rasulullah, who is the Imamul Anbiya and Sayyidul Mursaleen, the head of the Anbiya, the head of the Mursaleen, the head of the prophets and messengers, his position is unique and the most superior. But see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us in the Quran. The wife of Lut alayhi salam, who was a Nabi, was in the hellfire because of her own actions. The wife, the son of Nuh alayhi salam, who is one of the biggest of the Rasuls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he died without Iman, and he is from the people of the hellfire. The father of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, he is in the hellfire because he was an idolater, he was a worshipper of idols, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he is in the hellfire. The uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib, who was his greatest supporter, who loved him, still he is in the hellfire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning it in the Quran because he did not believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So just loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not sufficient. We need to believe in him. We need to follow him, obey him, and do his ittiba. This is a very important lesson for us to remember and for us to keep in our minds and for us to carry with us, because this is the, unfortunately, this is a source of great, great mistaken ideas that people have about Islam, and it can lead to shirk in different forms. To believe that somebody will be forgiven because of their relationship with this or that pious person is one of the forms of shirk. So please, let us not fall into these things. Let us do and follow what the religion that Rasulullah brought. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.